Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory be to God. I welcome you to another episode of Every Day with Jesus broadcast, where our lives are being transformed by the preaching of the Word of God. God's Word is powerful and life-changing. God's Word has never failed to deliver results. Hallelujah. The results are always consistent. If men receive the Word of God in the right proportion, it will do that which it promises to do. It will bring maturity for the believer. It will bet salvation in the life of the sinner. Hallelujah. Let's say a word of prayer quickly as we delve into the Word of God today. Thank you, Father, for your Word. Thank you for clarity and direction that we receive. Thank you, Father, because from your Word today we receive illumination and insight. We receive revelation. Thank you, Father, because every form of confusion is dispelled even as we receive your Word. We honor your name, Lord Jesus. We glorify you, Lord. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Hallelujah. So you're welcome again to another episode of Every Day with Jesus. And we've been studying spiritual growth and what it looks like. In the last episode, we continued to emphasize the place of the teaching ministry. The place of receiving is a sound presentation of the Word on a regular basis. Hallelujah. Many Christians out there are not growing in the faith, not because they do not desire to grow, not because they do not want to grow, not because they are lazy, not necessarily because they are lazy. Of course, some are lazy, but some are even very diligent in the pursuit, of spiritual things, going from meetings to meetings, camp to camp, conferences to conferences, trying to receive, what the Lord has to say. So that's a lot of diligence right there. Bible even tells us as Romans chapter 10, see what Paul says concerning the children of Israel. They had so much zeal. He says, my prayer and desire for Israel is that they may be saved, for I bear them record that they have a zeal for knowledge. He says, they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. So people are not growing, not because they are not zealous, not just because they are not committed. Sometimes the reason why they are not growing is because they are committed and devoted and diligent in the wrong things. Hallelujah. The reason why some are not growing is because they have no zeal. On the flip side, the reason why some are not growing is because they have zeal in the wrong things, in the wrong direction. Hallelujah. So we cannot overemphasize the place of being taught sound doctrine. The reason why many believers are not growing is because they are in the wrong hands. They are not being taught the truth of the Word of God, the truth of Scriptures. We saw how men grew in the hands of Christ. Hallelujah. We saw how the apostles produced mature men in the faith. It's not that hard. It's about an exposure to the right things on the right, the right things in the right proportion on a consistent basis. At 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 2, the man Peter says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. The phrase sincere milk speaks of that which is unadulterated, that which is void of corruption and human perversion. Peter says the man that receives the sincere milk of the Word will grow therein. Hallelujah. Will grow by the same. At Acts of Apostles chapter 20 verse 32, the man Paul says, so then, brethren, I commend you to God and to the Word of His grace, which is able to build you up. So you see, the right doctrine, the right message, in the right proportion will deliver results. It will bet spiritual growth or maturity. Praise God. So we cannot overemphasize the place of sound doctrine, of being instructed in righteousness, of being well taught the Scriptures. This is a vital ingredient for spiritual growth. And then I also emphasized in the last episode how what we are looking for in a sound ministry gift is an emphasis that is found in the ministry of the apostles. We must look out for what the apostles said and how the apostles said these things. Praise God. We must look out for how the apostles said the things they said. Hallelujah. And then we saw how that there's no need for us to improvise or to innovate or to come up with something that sounds novel, something new. No. When it comes to the ministry, the qualification for, the ministry gift, the qualification for a minister of the gospel, or the qualification for the teaching ministry is faithfulness to apostolic doctrine. faithfulness to that which we received from the apostles. And I said, that's because it is the apostles that Jesus entrusted the doctrine to. Hallelujah. It was the apostles that Jesus commissioned and entrusted the message to. So the apostles received the message from Christ, and then they pass on that message to the church. So the church cannot lay, you know, claim to having a doctrine or a revelation or an insight separate from that which the apostles brought to the church. Glory to God. That's why in Acts 2 verse 42, Bible says, and they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, breaking of bread and prayers. The apostles' doctrine. Not any kind of doctrine or any kind of teaching, not any kind of message. The apostles' doctrine. So if we cannot find it in the doctrine of the apostles, in the letters of the apostles, it is not worth teaching. Praise God. Then we saw also how that the apostle Peter makes reference to the experience they had with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration, as it is called today. And then in the same vein, he quickly points our attention to something more stable, something that is surer. And then he points our attention to the scriptures. Amen. Of course, the apostles did not quote or interpret every text in the Old Testament. That is why Peter says, you do well to take heed to the prophetic scriptures. So we are free to navigate through the prophets. We are free to explain texts in the Old Testament that are not necessarily referenced in the letters of the apostles. But then it's the apostles that have given us a sure guide on how to interpret those texts. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, Bible says, and that from a child you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. So they show us that the Old Testament books, the message of the prophets, have a common emphasis, salvation in Christ. Hallelujah. Peter explains the same at 1 Peter chapter 1 from verse 10. He says, of these things, of these salvation, the prophets have inquired, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. Verse 12 says, to them it was revealed that not to themselves, but to us, they were ministering the things which have now been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into. Hallelujah. Now look at that. Angels desire to look into that which the apostles have taught. Angels do not preach the gospel. They are curious. They desire to even find out the message from the church. Hallelujah. So that's why an angelic encounter is not the basis for doctrine. Amen. You don't say, you know, that man does not understand scriptures. He really cannot explain doctrine, but he's had a lot of encounters with angels. You see, that's the more reason why we are not meant to listen to him. The fact that his message or his ministry is built on angelic encounters is the reason why we ought not to listen to him. Because angels themselves are trying to get updated. They are trying to update themselves from the message and the ministry of the apostles, the revelation of Christ to the church. Glory to God. Bible says, things angels desire to look into. So the letters of the ministry of the apostles are a safe guide to understanding every other thing said in the Old Testament. And that is why the apostle Peter says we do well to take heed to the prophetic scriptures rather than get fixated on their experience or encounter with Christ. Let's turn our Bibles again to 2 Peter chapter 1 from verse 16. I want to show you something very important. 2 Peter 1:16. Bible says, for we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And we heard this voice which came from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed. Praise God. You know, this sounds like the vision confirmed the scriptures. But I showed you how that the KJV translation is a better translation. It says we have a more sure word of prophecy. That is, away from this experience and encounter, there's a more sure word of prophecy. There is something more reliable. There is something that is more trustworthy. It is not the vision or the experience. It is the prophetic scriptures. He says, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but only men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So when I look into the prophetic scriptures, what am I looking for? It says, till the day dawns and the morning star rises in your heart. The word or the phrase morning star is another word for Christ. Praise God. It's a title used for Christ in the scriptures. Another version says, till the day star. Jesus is the day star, is the morning star. So when I look into the prophetic scriptures, I'm not looking for many things. I'm looking for Christ. Christ must shine out of their scriptures unto me. Glory to God. Now listen, the Apostle Peter says, we have a more sure word of prophecy, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place. And he was referring to the prophets and, you know, their scriptures, their letters, their teachings, their ministry. Glory to Jesus. As opposed to their experience, as opposed to the encounter they had with Jesus on that mount of transfiguration, as we call it today. Has it ever occurred to you before that that experience they had with Jesus did not birth faith in their hearts? Praise God. I mean, that encounter, that spectacular experience that they had with Jesus, they saw Elijah, they saw Moses, they heard a voice from the excellent glory, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Has it ever occurred to you before that that encounter, that singular experience did not make any difference in their lives until after the resurrection? In fact, as a matter of fact, that experience made them afraid. Instead of inspiring faith in their hearts, they left that place afraid. Glory to God. Look at Matthew chapter 17. I'll read from verse 1. Matthew 17. Bible says, now after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, led them up on a high mountain by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with him. Then Peter answered and said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. You know, that voice came out to them to correct his impression. Amen. He saw Jesus, he saw Elijah, and he saw Moses, and he put 3 of them on the same level and pedestal. Hallelujah. Let's make a tabernacle for the 3 of you. Back in the Old Testament, the most respected of the prophets were Moses and Elijah. Praise God. If you are conversant with the ministry of Jesus and the opposition that he faced regularly from the scribes and the Pharisees, you notice that they were always mentioning Moses. Anytime they wanted to attack Jesus and, you know, catch him in their trap, it was all about Moses. They would fall back on what Moses said. Moses said. They were trying to use Moses against Jesus. Praise God. Unknown to them, Moses wrote about Jesus. Glory to God. So you notice also that when the disciples of Jesus wanted to act in a particular way, they said, should we call down fire like Elijah? And Jesus says, you don't know what manner of spirit you are made of. The Son of Man has not come to destroy men's lives, but to save. So those were the 2 most respected prophets. Of course, they also respected David and all that, but you don't often find them mentioning David, in, you know, quoting David to fight and or to oppose Jesus. Elijah and Moses were such a stronghold in Israel. Praise God. So this was what informed Peter's response to that vision. When he saw Elijah and Moses and Jesus standing, of course, it was a vision. Naturally, Peter shouldn't have recognized Elijah or Moses. I mean, they lived several years, thousands of years before Peter was born. But then because it was a vision, he had a supernatural knowing. He knew that that was Elijah and Moses. And he said in response to that, let us make 3 tabernacles. And then God spoke. The Father spoke from heaven in that vision and says, no, this is my beloved son. Not that he said no, praise God. That is, he was correcting his impression. This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. Hallelujah. Now look at verse 6. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their faces and were greatly afraid. Amen. You see, that's not how the word of faith works. You don't hear the gospel and then fall on your face and be so afraid. So it's clear that that vision, that encounter did not inspire faith in their hearts. Amen. They left the place afraid, dreading. you know, the encounter. Hallelujah. Now look at what Jesus says at verse 7. But Jesus came and touched them and said, "Arise and do not be afraid." And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus alone, or Jesus only. Verse 9. Now as they came down from the mountain, look at this. Jesus commanded them, saying, "Tell the vision to no one until the Son of Man is risen from the dead." Amen. He gave them a strict instruction. This stuff you have seen, don't tell anybody until the Son of Man has risen from the dead. You know why? The vision and the experience is not the gospel. Praise God. It's not the gospel. And it makes sense to share the experience while preaching the gospel rather than sharing the experience as the gospel. You notice how Peter shared it in his letter. Praise God. You see how Peter subjected the experience to the scriptures. At that point in time, they had not understood the scriptures. They were also in fear. There's no way they would have been able to make sense or, you know, give a proper appraisal of that experience without an understanding of the scriptures. Praise God. Hallelujah. So like I said, that experience did not bet faith in them. It did not inspire faith in their hearts. It was after that experience that Jesus died and rose again. Praise God. Imagine the attitude of the disciples after Jesus died. Amen. At Luke 24, Bible says from verse 1, "Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, 'Why do you seek the living among the dead?' Glory to God. He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again.' And they remembered his words. Then they returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles." Listen, those who were not apostles, women in the ministry of Jesus, they found out that the tomb was empty. They had an encounter with an angel that told them, "See, remember that Jesus told you he was going to die and rise again." They took the news to the 11 apostles, the apostles, glory to God, the elders, hallelujah. They took the news to them. Look at their response from verse 11, hallelujah. It says, "And their words seemed to them like idle tales, and they did not believe them." Hallelujah. I like the way Bible says the apostles. You know, they were not apostles after they believed the gospel. Praise God. They were not born again. Apostle just means people who are sent. So in that office of apostles, they did not believe the words of the women. They did not believe the reports that the women brought to them concerning Jesus' resurrection. They were still in unbelief. Hallelujah. Verse 12, Peter arose and ran to the tomb. You know, he didn't say, "Wow, glory to God, thank God. Let's just rejoice. Let's sing a song of praise. Oh, thank God, we've been expecting this. He told us before he died. Now it has happened. It has been fulfilled. Glory to God." They didn't start rejoicing. Amen. He ran to the tomb to do what? To go and verify for himself. He did not remember the words of Jesus. The scriptures were not enough. Amen. The words of Jesus, the teachings of Jesus were not enough. He had to run down to the tomb to verify for himself. He needed to see for himself. Glory to God. Why was that so? Because up until that point in time, they had not understood the scriptures. So forget the fact that they had been taught. Forget the fact that Jesus had walked them through scriptures during his ministry. They had not understood it. Glory to Jesus. So because they had not understood the scriptures, they found it difficult to believe the scriptures. Hallelujah. So he went there to find out for himself. Guess what? Bible says at verse 12, "But Peter arose and ran to the tomb, and stooping down, he saw the linen clothes lying by themselves, and he departed, marveling to himself at what had happened." He did not even make sense of that stuff. Amen. He wasn't sure. He was just marveling. What must have happened? Maybe they stole his body. Only God knows. So maybe, where? He was just marveling at what had happened. He did not attribute that to the resurrection. Praise God. The way you are going to know is when Jesus met them on the road, verse 13. Look at this. Verse 13. "Now behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they talked together of all these things which had happened. So it was, while they conversed and reasoned, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him. And he said to them, what kind of conversation is this that you have with one another and as you walk and are sad? At this point in time, they were still sad. I mean, why would you see an empty tomb and still be sad? Praise God. Jesus says, you know, when the Son of Man rises again from the dead, your joy no one will be able to take away from you. But because he had not attributed the empty tomb or the emptiness of the tomb, hallelujah, whichever one you prefer, to the resurrection of Christ, he was still sad. He was still sad. Praise God. Look at verse 18. Then the one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? And have you not known the things which happened there in these days? And he said to them, what things? That was Jesus. So they said to him, the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. We were hoping. Hallelujah. Ah, one chance. We actually thought he was the one that was going to save Israel. Praise God. It now says, indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us. When they did not find his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. Hallelujah. They were not sure. Listen, they were not sure. Yet, they had had a supernatural encounter. Peter, James, and John had seen a vision. They heard the voice of the Father. This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. After the resurrection, they did not believe. Praise God. Jesus then says to them at Luke 24:25, then he said to them, O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Hallelujah. So Jesus is doing the same things that he did to them while he was with them before his death and resurrection. He walked them through scriptures again, afresh. Hallelujah. Ought not the Christ to have suffered? Foolish and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Glory to Jesus. Listen now. Hallelujah. Listen now. Bible says in verse 32. Okay, let's go to verse 30. Now it came to pass as he sat at the table with them, you know, they entertained him in their house, that he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they knew him. That is their physical sight. It became clear to them that this was Christ. And he vanished from their sight, and they said to one another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us? So they rose up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. Hallelujah. He has appeared to Simon. And they told about the things that happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread. So he had appeared to Simon also. And who is Simon? Simon was one of the people that had the encounter with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. Yet he was still in unbelief. Praise God. And then Jesus came into their midst. Verse 36. Bible says, now as they said these things, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said to them, peace to you. But they were terrified and frightened and supposed that they had seen a spirit. Imagine the reaction again. Hallelujah. Imagine the reaction again. They did not believe that he had risen from the dead. They thought he was dead. So for appearing in their midst, it was like a ghost. Praise God. And he said to them, why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Undo me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see I have. Look at verse 40. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. But while they still did not believe, for joy and marveled, he said to them, "Have you any food here?" They still did not believe. But this time around, he says for joy. That is, they found it unbelievable. It was so incredible. Hallelujah. And it's still the same. Unbelief is unbelief. Hallelujah. So that was why Jesus went ahead to give them an extra proof. Give me food. Then he took it. Bible says they gave him a piece of a broiled fish and some honeycomb, and he took it and ate in their presence. But that was not the ultimate thing. Look at verse 44. Then he said to them, "These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me." Jesus is saying, see, what you are seeing now, what you are seeing playing out right in your presence are the very same things I told you. This is a fulfillment of the things that I told you. Hallelujah. What you are seeing is not strange. Me rising from the dead, being in your midst, you can see the signs, the marks on my palms. You can see the evidence. I'm standing in your midst physically. These are the things that I told you. Praise God. It is merely a fulfillment of the things that I showed you while I was still with you. That all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. Verse 45. And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. So what made the difference was not the vision that they saw, was not the encounter or the experience they had with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. What made the difference was that he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Hallelujah. And you see, this is why the Apostle Peter says, "We have a more sure word of prophecy, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your heart." Praise God. Because what Jesus handed to them ultimately was not that encounter on the mountain. It was the scriptures. An explanation, a right explanation and understanding of the scriptures, of the prophets, the law of Moses and the Psalms. Glory to God. That was how Jesus opened their understanding. That was how Jesus produced faith in their hearts. Hallelujah. That was how Jesus dispelled their doubts and unbelief and produced faith in their hearts. Hallelujah. You see, that's the reason why Peter did not hand the church experiences and encounters and things like that. Because even those experiences did not do him any good until he understood the scriptures. It was after Peter understood the scriptures, he began to make sense of those experiences. Knowing fully well that up until this time, Simon had seen Christ. He says he has appeared to him. Yet they were still in unbelief. All of them were in unbelief in spite of seeing evidences of the fact that Jesus had risen from the dead. He stood in their midst. They thought he was a ghost. It was the scriptures that ultimately produced faith in their hearts. Hallelujah. So that is why a ministry gift must not be after experiences, visions, feeding the saints with encounters upon encounters and mysteries and funny things. A ministry gift, a sound ministry gift, is the one that passes on to the saints the same explanations and teachings and instructions found in the ministry of the apostles. A sound ministry gift is the one that helps you pay attention to the prophetic scriptures until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Hallelujah. So we are not after experiences. Praise God. Now, it's quite common today to find preachers who have no grasp of New Testament doctrine, who cannot rightly divide the word of truth, resort to preaching experiences, encounters, visions upon visions. And believers who are undiscerning just open their hearts to receive all such things, and you find out that they are not going to grow in the faith. They are not going to make progress in the faith. Hallelujah. Because a ministry gift has not been commissioned, ordained, or appointed by the Lord to teach or feed the saints with experiences upon experiences and visions and encounters. No, that is not the essence of the ministry gift. The ministry gift, a sound ministry gift, is one that has been sent, appointed, and ordained by the Lord for equipping the saints with the knowledge of the Son. Hallelujah. The knowledge of the Son, the knowledge of Christ. Praise God. So it is not out of place to talk about, you know, experiences once in a while. And then you must realize that the New Testament is such that every child of God can have experiences with God. Amen. In the last days, I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh, Joel 2. And your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. Amen. So visions and encounters, experiences with the Lord are not exclusive to leaders or church spiritual leaders or ministry gifts. It's such a common thing for the believers. Hallelujah. They are commonplace experiences among the saints. Amen. So the ministry gift is not one that comes to feed us with experiences upon experiences. No, it comes to teach us the knowledge of Christ, to equip us with the knowledge of the Son. Let's see a few scriptures as I begin to close. Ephesians in chapter 4. Amen. Ephesians 4 from verse 12. Bible says, for the equipping. Okay, let me start from verse 11. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. So what are we meant to be fed with? It says, the knowledge of the Son of God, the perfect man, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. It's about the revelation of Christ, not experiences. Hallelujah. For this reason, Paul at Acts of Apostles chapter 20, look at this now, Acts of Apostles chapter 20, and I'll read verse 27. Paul says, I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. So Paul taught the church and handed to the church the whole counsel of God. That is, he kept back nothing. Hallelujah. He kept back what? Nothing. Glory to Jesus. In fact, that's exactly what he said in this same chapter. He says he has kept back nothing that was helpful. At verse 20, he says, how I kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you and taught you publicly and from house to house. Amen. And what is this whole counsel of God? If you read in context, it's about the gospel. Everything found in the gospel of Christ. Verse 24, it says, but none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy, and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus, to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. That is the whole counsel of God. Hallelujah. So concerning doctrine, Paul emptied himself. He taught everything that needed to be taught. Praise God. But look at the same Paul at 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I'll read from verse 1. Paul says, it is doubtless not profitable for me to boast. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body I do not know, or whether out of the body I do not know, God knows. Such a one was caught up to the third heaven. And I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know, God knows. How he was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one I will boast, yet of myself I will not boast, except in my infirmities. Paul says, you know, concerning visions and revelations, this particular man heard things that are not lawful to utter. Amen. That is, he must have been instructed to not share those things. Praise God. Theologians generally agree that Paul was talking about himself. Amen. So, but then, he says, see, these things were not lawful to be uttered. So when it came to revelations and visions and experiences, he held back something. He did not share everything. He did not see everything. If you read through the letters of Paul, you don't find visions, encounters here and there. Why is it different from some ministry gifts today? That when you read through their letters or you listen to their messages, it's all about encounters, visions, experiences, and this and that. And you really can place your hand on the doctrine of Christ. It wasn't like that for the ministry of the apostles. He says, I have not shown to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Hallelujah. I have taught you everything that is helpful. When it came to revelation and visions, he says, I held back. Praise God. That is, there are things that are not lawful to be uttered. There are things we shouldn't say. Amen. And this is so because experiences and encounters do not inspire the saints to maturity. Hallelujah. Experiences and encounters do not inspire the saints to maturity. A man can be saved without hearing anybody's personal experience or encounter as long as you share the gospel with him. A man will mature in the faith without hearing any encounter or experience from any other person apart from the doctrine of Christ. If all he receives is the doctrine of Christ, he will be saved and he will mature in the faith. Glory to God. That's the reason why not everybody had the encounter with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. Not all the apostles had that encounter, but they were all saved. Praise God, because they were all taught the scriptures. It's simple. Hallelujah. That's the same way though you and I did not see Jesus personally. We did not see him when he rose again from the dead. We found salvation in the message of the apostles, and we find spiritual growth in their message till date. Hallelujah. Because what bears faith in the heart of the hearers and steers men to spiritual maturity is not experiences, it's not visions or revelations, it is the doctrine of Christ, the message. Amen. So in looking for a sound ministry gift, I'm not looking for a man who would overwhelm me with his personal experiences. I'm looking for a man that is faithful to apostolic doctrine. This is what matters. This is what counts. This is what is able to mature you in the Christian faith. If you feed on stories and experiences, at the end of the day, you are only going to stand in awe of the man of God, of the preacher. Praise God. You will never grow in your understanding of Christ. You will not know God. You won't know the scriptures. You won't be able to explain the same. And that will be unprofitable for you. I'm going to continue from here in the next episode. Do go to tune in, invite your friends, family members, colleagues, classmates, put on your social media status, and let's come together to have a great time in the Word of God. And don't forget to have a great day of being full of the Word, prayer, spiritual songs, and be a blessing to somebody. See you in the next episode.